This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi samil alim min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Min hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa nafthah. Bismillahir rahman ar-rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. لا سيما المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا وبعد. Brothers and sisters, I think it is indeed our duties as seekers of knowledge to purify the seerah and the sunnah from the fake and the fabricated stories, especially the ahadith and the stories which people ascribe to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as if it was a fact or reality, and it have no essence whatsoever. I'm not saying that it's like it's a weak hadith. No, fabricated stories. Some of these stories which we circulate them as if they are as authentic as a hadith are very common, to the point that people definitely believe it is something sound, including ourselves. I mean, we've been involved in sometimes sharing with the audience some stories that we have been taught by our teachers as we were young. Can you guys hear me? I got a message from Sengor that they cannot hear me. Can you guys hear me? I would appreciate if anyone can send me a message, a confirmation message that you guys can hear me, or if you can't, let me know, please. Okay, good. Alhamdulillah, shukrullah. So it's a singular problem. So as we were young, we've been taught stories and we circulated them as if they were facts, and sometimes a hadith. Unfortunately, you know, whenever sometimes you're giving a lecture or a talk, you get carried away, and one of these stories may pop up into your mind and use it as a reference. It is time to purify our talks, our conversations, our stories which we teach our children from these fake stories. I'll begin today with one very, very common story, but it's fake though. And as I'm talking, I would like to hear from you whether you've heard this story before or not. The story of the kindness of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his mercy towards even non-Muslims. How often have we heard about the Jewish neighbor who used to cast the trash on the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in front of his door, and sometimes you know, once the Prophet, peace be upon him, missed the trash, so he asked what happened. They say because the Jew is sick, so he didn't go out today. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to visit him because he missed his trash, and there the Jewish man was shocked that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is visiting him, even though the only relationship between them is that the Jewish person is always harming Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and being very rude to him, while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being very kind and very nice. So when he missed the trash, he inquired about him. When he knew that he's sick, he went to visit him. So the Jew said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah." Guess what? This is 100% fake story. We should not get carried away and want to read things because they sound good and they sound great. And you may look at only one angle of the story, that the Jew have accepted Islam and said la ilaha illallah. How kind was Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and all of that. So we actually keep circulating this, and we hear it from the speakers, from the khutbah, and in Friday sermon, and on television, and in our classrooms, and it's written in books. Be careful. Again, this is not a sound story. This is not even a weak story. It's entirely fabricated. No. Kareem, the story is not in any book of Sunnah. Not only not in Sahih al-Bukhari. It does not exist in any hadith, whether Sahih or Da'if. And think about it. When did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam start to have Jewish neighbors? When was that? That was only after the migration in Medina. True? And those companions, Al-Ansar and Al-Muhajirin, who were not only willing to give their lives as sacrifice for the deen of Allah and the messenger of Allah, but they actually did. Look at Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, whose father was a big munafiq, and he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he requested him. He said, "Oh messenger of Allah, if you wish, I'm more than willing to chop off his head," because he knew that his father is annoying the messenger of Allah, peace be upon him. So how could the Muslim community in Medina allow a Jew who's living under the umbrella of the Muslim state to cast the trash on the Prophet ﷺ, or put it in front of his door or on his way to Damascus? Keep in mind also that the Prophet ﷺ was living next door to the masjid. I mean, all his rooms would open to the masjid. So the story is fabricated from every different angle and direction. Yet, we have tons of others. The forbearing nature of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his gentle treatment to non-Muslims, including the Jews. Take for instance, when the Jewish woman of Khaybar invited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a dinner, and she poisoned the sheep, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a single bite and the sheep informed the messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, that there is poison in me. So he quit, and he ordered his companions to quit. And he confronted the woman. She said, "Well, I wanted to find out whether you're a true prophet or you're a faker. If you're a faker, we'll get rid of you. If you're a true prophet, God will tell you that there is a poison in it." What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do with her? He said, "If no one is hurt, she's free. But if anyone died of his companions as a result of that, she will be punished for that." So any ordinary human being, just knowing that somebody was trying or contemplating the idea of killing you, assassinating you, and you have a full power to take revenge of them, you're not going to hesitate to execute them. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If no one is hurt, if no one have died, then she's free." There are some stories that she've accepted Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pardoned her, but the catch in the story, how the Prophet ﷺ was so merciful that he did not immediately execute the woman, and he was pretty much capable to do that. Some people confuse the issues. So, I've mentioned earlier a fake story about the Jewish person who used to cast the trash on the way of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Now people confuse the issues and say, what about the other fake story that the Prophet Muhammad mortgaged his armor with a Jew? And how come that he has many, many companions, and many of them were rich? Abdurrahman ibn Auf was a millionaire, Uthman ibn Affan was very rich, and many other companions, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Why would he have to take a loan from a Jew? What decides whether the story or the hadith is sound or fake is what? The chain of the narrators and the scholars who judge whether the hadith is sound or fake. Did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever mortgage his armor with a Jew? Yes, he did. Is this hadith sound? It is. Narrated by whom, where, and why? It is collected by Imam al-Bukhari, may Allah have mercy on him. So it is true, it's a very sound hadith. that the Prophet ﷺ mortgaged his armor with a Jew. Why? It is true that he had many companions who were rich. There is a prophetic wisdom behind that. Number one, Jewish people, Christian people, non-Muslims who are living in Muslim states are perceived as dhimmi. The term dhimmi, they are like citizens, they are citizens. They have the same right that Muslims have. They owe the same duties that Muslims have. And when the Prophet ﷺ chooses to deal with a Jew in this manner, he is interacting with them and he is setting a role model that these people have the same rights like Muslims. And they have the same obligations like Muslims. It is true that they would not occupy the leadership position such as being the governors or the judge or whatever, they judge themselves, but not Muslims in the Muslim state. But لَهُمْ مَا لَنَا وَعَلَيْهِمْ مَا عَلَيْنَا. And the Prophet ﷺ did not mortgage anything, did not mortgage his rug, his thawb, his imama. He mortgaged his armor. And the armor of the body of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, the greatest body ever, has a great indication and a great significance. An armor is needed during war. So when a non-Muslim is living in a Muslim state, he's given security to the point that I'm giving you my armor. And I don't have to do that. I could have mortgaged anything else, but I'm mortgaging my armor to give you my word of safety and security. This is not for an individual. This is for the entire non-Muslim community who live in a Muslim country. That's why the Prophet ﷺ disowned a Muslim who may harm or annoy a non-Muslim who is living as a dhimmi, having the right to live with security and peace in a Muslim society. This is our religion, brothers and sisters. So when we examine these stories, you do not put your personal intellect to interpret it first, because maybe you'll be fully aware of the circumstances and know what is going on. That's why there are scholars who are deep in knowledge who would give us the interpretation either of the Quran or of the Hadith and the Ayah and so on. So conclusion, inshallah, would wrap it up. You know, 15 minutes is enough, inshallah. Every now and then we'll share one of these stories, a fake story and a silent story, and mention the reference, inshallah azajal, and we like to learn some wisdom behind all of that. The conclusion is that the story of the Jew casting the trash on the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is 100% fake. And if I have ever mentioned that before, I do apologize. And our brothers and sisters who do teach in schools, primary schools, middle school, high schools, or even at college, and the khutaba who give the khutbah, we should stop circulating that anymore. Secondly, the story of mortgaging the armor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a Jew is a sound story, and we learn some of the wisdom behind it. A very important thing that perhaps next time I'd like to share with you. What happened today, that it's Saturday, it's a day off, and I decided to take my kids for a picnic. So while I'm enjoying the beautiful weather, this thought crossed my mind, so I decided to spend a few minutes with you. Then I would have to run and play with my kids for a little bit, inshallah. The other thing that I wanted to share with you, perhaps it will be next time, inshallah, it's about Al-Imam Al-Husayn ibn Ali. May Allah be pleased with him, his father, and his grandfather, peace be upon him. Al-Imam Al-Husayn ibn Ali, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you recall that a previous post, I posted a picture of some people who are hurting themselves with knives. And they do that annually to commemorate the remembrance of the martyrdom of Al-Imam Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiyallahu anhu. We love Imam Hussein and Al-Imam Al-Hasan and their parents, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amir Mu'mineen, and Fatima Al-Batul, the Prophet's daughter, and his sweetheart. We love them more than we love ourselves. And Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah do love them more than anybody else. But we know how much love we should give to any human being and how to comply with the instructions of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know for sure that Allah have ordered us not to hurt ourselves. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. Harm should not be inflicted nor reciprocated. And Allah the Almighty said, ولا تقتلوا أنفسكم إن الله كان بكم رحيما. Don't you kill yourselves. Allah is most merciful with you. And Allah the Almighty also said, لا تلقوا بأيديكم إلى التهلكة. Don't you harm yourselves. Don't you throw yourselves in harm's ways. So, inshallah, azzajal, because of some of the remarks that I received on my page from some people who are Shia, and perhaps they didn't even read my comment on the image where I said, may Allah guide them. I said, this practice does not represent Islam. Alhamdulillah for guiding us to His straight path, and may Allah guide them. They don't like that. They're very prejudiced, very extreme. So, inshallah, I'd like to have a talk about that next time, inshallah, azzajal. Of course, Hussein, and one of my grandparents, his name is Hussein. And my grandparent from my father's side is Hassan. You know, we love them. They are our, you know, leaders. And they will be the leaders of the youth in paradise, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Again, brothers and sisters, inshallah, next time we'll get to talk about the virtues of Al-Imam Al-Hussein and who was he and about his martyrdom and what do we think and believe about that. Until then, brothers and sisters, I leave you all in the care of Allah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وجزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.